Good morning, Dan. And as Mike Scott said, the talented John Cass. And for Amy this morning, she's still enjoying her European vacation. Well earned. And John, your newspaper, it's the Chicago Tribune.
Yes, I'm ready.
Yeah. This editorial, Illinois House, be careful with this tax hike. Where are all those reforms? That's a hilarious rhetorical question. The Ed Board offering includes this review. Members of the Illinois House, the decision falls on you. Will you override Governor Rauner's veto of a permanent 32% increase in the personal income tax, or will you instead insist, first let's agree on the reforms that many of us promised voters would have to be part of any tax deal? We ask because if you vote for this tax increase, if you vote this tax increase into law, and then have to admit to your constituents that the accompanying reform bills are really just diluted eyewash, you'll look like chumps for Speaker Mike Madigan. That's a particular admonition for the 15 House Republicans, nearly a third of the Republican caucus, who broke ranks and voted for the tax hike, John.
And there's someone else in the Tribune who refers to those 15 Republicans as cravens with the spines made entirely of ricotta cheese. And I wonder who that might be.
Making me hungry.
So I would suggest you read the editorial and maybe the Mootza column and see where we're going here.
Yeah, surrender Republicans.
That is just pathetic, isn't it, that they would just go like that and just get on their knees and crawl before the Sith, or whatever his name is?
They're positively enthusiastic. Iconic photo, if you haven't seen it, look it up. I've tweeted it at Dan Proft, Facebook too. Steve Anderson, the rep from Geneva, who, because of Rauner's abdication of leadership, filled the void and became the de facto governor for the last week, organized with some help, but he was the lead organizer of the 15 Republicans who voted for this tax hike with no spending reforms, as the Tribune opines. Upon its passage on Sunday, while you were enjoying your 4th of July weekend, Steve Anderson, Republican from Geneva, raising his hands in victory, because this is what victory looks like in Illinois for Republicans, and clapping in the background from others who voted for it, including
Democrats.
Reggie Phillips. No, Republicans.
Oh, Republicans too, yeah.
While Jim Durkin, the House Minority Leader, standing with his arms akimbo, looking befuddled and exasperated.
So if there's an override today, Madigan is contemplating that. Is Rauner at fault for abdicating, for kind of disappearing and letting this happen?
Yes, he is. And he's tried to play this game, this inside game, for the better part of the last 18 months, and it has been to no effect other than to diminish his standing, dilute his brand, and allow the likes of a Steve Anderson, allow the big government Republicans to be ascendant. Okay. So I would say that's a problem. Those aren't good outcomes from the maverick who's going to take on the power structure in Springfield to turn around Illinois. And let me just say this too, as you're contemplating, you know, whatever rationalizations you're going to hear from those 15 surrender Republicans. Wall Street Journal, Moody's is talking about possibly downgrading Illinois to junk regardless. You pass this tax hike, we're still going to downgrade
it to junk.
Well, also because it doesn't change the trajectory
exactly
of Illinois. But here's the other thing. Wall Street Journal editorial, again on Illinois, junk by any name in Illinois. The Wall Street Journal writes, the three major rating agencies are constructive in highlighting fiscal deficits, but they often underestimate credit risk. Downgrades are lagging indicators of fiscal and economic stress. No kidding. And they talk about this tax hike that is going to be inculcated into law this afternoon with the override. While higher taxes may let bondholders breathe easier for a while, they won't change the state's tax and borrow and spend culture to pay its backlog of health care bills accruing at 9% interest. The state now plans to issue $6 billion in general obligation bonds. Illinois borrowed $17 billion to fund pensions, which have the largest unfunded liabilities in the country. The state will pay $1.6 billion in interest on bonds and $8.9 billion to the pension funds, which is about 35% of the general revenue fund. CPS borrowing $400 million last month at roughly 6.5% interest to make mandated pension payments. rating agencies were loath to scold Puerto Rico, Detroit, and Stockton, California when they raised taxes while deferring spending reforms. But the tax increases propelled their economic decline and population flight, and bondholders ultimately got fleeced. Illinois may not be able to go bankrupt under federal law, but that won't stop politicians from making them an offer they can't refuse. Puerto Rico, Detroit, Stockton did the same thing Illinois is poised to do. And as the Wall Street Journal correctly recalls, hasten the decline and the population flight.
Wait, while all this was going on over the past 8 years or 10 years, 20 years, where was the Wall Street Journal then? Where was the national? You know what they were saying? Let's not have Chicago as Beirut on the lake, right?
Well, let's get more on this, because one of the questions is, does Rahner really want, his protestations notwithstanding, does he really want his veto to be overridden? Because let me tell you, he doesn't. But we'll put that question to Mark Batnick and see if he agrees with me. Representative Mark Batnick, Republican from Plainfield, an opponent of the tax hike, I should add, and made a very good speech on the House floor during House debate on Sunday in opposition to the tax increase, joins us now. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for being on. Great to be on with the legendary John Cass.
Yes, exactly. Everybody knows it. And so here's the thing. What happens today with the House move to override the governor's veto after the Senate has already done so? And what's your sense of what the governor really wants to happen?
Well, I'm hopeful that the governor is trying to stop the veto override from happening. I know they lost one of the yes votes is apparently in Russia. I don't know if Putin's involved there, but I know they're down at least one vote today. So, it's close. The people who voted yes on the Republican side are getting a whole heck of a lot of pressure. And I don't know if it's going to be enough. If Madigan really wanted this done, the way to have done it would be what the Senate did, where they voted for it, got the veto back, overrid it, and then do it that day. The past couple of days have been pretty harsh on the people that voted for the tax increase. Just like I said, especially on the Republican side.
So you're suggesting that Madigan doesn't really want to override the veto?
You know, I've been wrong so many times on predicting what's going to happen in this state, but there is certainly something to say that if Madigan overrides this, and then especially if we do get downgraded for not having the reforms, then he has a whole lot of egg on his face. Whereas the governor does come off looking at like the defender of the taxpayers. Should he veto this and it get overridden by the General Assembly, he gets to go into the next election and say basically, hey, I was trying to defend the taxpayers. Moody said we needed reforms. That's what I was fighting for, and they won't listen to me. You need to reelect me because it will be total capitulation if there's another Democratic governor in office. So there is, kind of the game behind the game.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see what Madigan does today, because he probably could put on a few extra votes if a couple of Republicans fall off. But I'm not sure how deep that goes, and I'm frankly not sure what he wants.
Well, and by the way, what you just said is why Governor Rahner wants his veto overridden, because it gives him the position that he should have had the entire time, but he now gets, frankly, a gift from Madigan, almost in spite of himself. This is Madigan throwing him a life preserver just on the politics of it. Not that I want the taxes to be imposed. Obviously, I'm an opponent of it, as you are, Mark. But, I mean, that the politics of it, you've just explained perfectly, which is why Madigan probably has a lot of incentive to say, okay, I passed a bipartisan budget. I got 15 House Republicans on it. You don't like it? All right, well, you take it back. You figure it out, and you pass your own. And, oh, by the way, schools are scheduled open in a month. Good luck.
Yeah, and here's the problem with this whole thing. The thing that burns me up the most and where Madigan is a master at. He's the master, and this is Representative Greenfine. He's the master of what I call black, or what he calls blackmail politics, where he puts you in a position where you have to choose between two bad choices. Now, if this was happening in April, back when I stopped voting on all this other nonsense, when we were avoiding the budget discussion, we would have had time to go back and forth before the end of the fiscal year, before the rating agencies are breathing down our backs. But what the speaker did is he waited and waited and waited and waited. He waited past the May 31st deadline. He even waited past June 30th, seeing that, oh, it's a holiday, we can wait for the rating agencies a few days, before he called something like this and put it up for a vote. So we're in this pickle now where we're closer to schools opening, we're closer to a downgrade, where people feel like they have to vote for just about anything. where if we were talking about this the entire session like we should have been, like real state legislators do, we wouldn't be in this pickle.
That's because lives and livelihoods are games for many of the Royals in Springfield, particularly at the leadership level, frankly, on both sides.
Yeah, I'll hold back comment on that, but I'm not going to argue with that.
Well, here's one that I'd like to hear a comment from you on. Your colleagues who voted for this, for the tax increase, the Republicans.
I got a straight-up comment. So you represent a university town. He's willing to destroy it. He's willing to destroy your friendships, your everything you built for in that town. He's willing to take you just to the absolute brink until you cry uncle. You know, what do you do? And that's the type of hardball politics that the speaker plays, and he won, I guess. We'll see what happens this afternoon.
Well, what happens?
But he won.
What happens with the opposition? What happens to people who are taxpayers who don't like the fact that Republicans are getting on their knees helping Madigan? What are they going to do about it? And what kind of pressure are your colleagues facing from voters and taxpayers on this thing?
Oh, I got to tell you, the pressure is intense. You know, talking to some of those guys from that have voted for it, the pressure is intense for them to hop off this override. So that's why I'm not fully convinced the override happens, for two reasons. I'm not sure the speaker wants the override to happen, and I'm not sure that the 15 that voted for the tax hike in the first place are going to stand strong and carry the override through. So it's going to be an interesting day. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a long day.
Yeah, but the 15 have already made their bet. So if they flip flop, so what? There's nothing to be gained. I mean, I'm just in my private life as just another Illinois resident. I'm interested in supporting primary challengers across the board. And it doesn't matter what they do on the override. They've already showed me who they are. And with respect to Eastern Illinois University, you know, we had the Cornhusker kickback for Obamacare. We had a Charleston kickback for Dale Ryder, the lone Republican senator to vote for this and to override the governor's veto on the Senate side, where, you know, he gets $5-6 million in pork for Eastern Illinois University. And all of a sudden, he's the lone Republican to vote and provide political cover for a Dem target, just as your colleagues in the House did, Tom Cullerton in DuPage County, which is a Senate pickup opportunity. It's a good way to ensure the minority in perpetuity for Republicans. And the Eastern Illinois thing, you know, it's like your university more money. I know you know this, Mark, because you're on higher ed and you know this better than I do. But I mean, Eastern Illinois University has seen their student population almost halve in the last decade. And yet the state support for EIU is essentially the same. So, I mean, there's just everywhere you go in this state, it's a Ponzi scheme. And there's no such thing as right-sizing any funding levels for any unit of government, regardless of performance, size, scope, outcomes. It's just always more inputs into every single system. And, you know, you play the game of taking new money in to try and pay old debt like Bernie Madoff would do. And people are tired of it.
I completely agree with that. And that was one of the things I talked about on the House floor. We didn't reform anything. I mean, the fact that in the 2.5 years, something as small as did one Secretary of State office close? Did one? I mean, I've got 3 Secretary of State offices within 13 miles of where I live. Do I need all 3? Do we need 2 labor relation boards? Do we need to be funding higher ed at nearly double the national average when we are funding it? Does everything have to be so expensive the way we do government in Illinois? And that's the reform part that Moody's is talking about. And that's what I've been talking about for 2 years, and that is so frustrating, because all we seem to do in this state is throw more and more money at things that aren't being run well, things that are failing. And that's frankly why the tax increase is the wrong way to go. We have to start with reforms first.
All right. He is State Representative Mark Batnick, one of, many Republicans, but not a third of them in the House fighting the fight on the tax hikes and in furtherance of reforms, as he is describing. Representative Mark Batnick, Republican from Plainfield. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And he joined us on the turnkey.pro answer line.